truth in that. All right, Miss Alice, come up here just a second. You in a good mood for attention? Nope, or yet?
Nope, because we're doing this and I told you not to.
But hey, listen. How long have we been together now?
Long time.
Long time. You've been the administrative assistant around here for what, 22?
20 years.
Over 20 years. And you've never done a thing I've told you yet. I don't know what I'd do without Alice. There's never been a time I've called her up and said, hey, I need this. I need this to go out. I want this to go. That she didn't say, it's done. And I appreciate that. Anyway, this past Wednesday, I think, was Administrative Assistant's Day, according to my wife, who keeps up with those kind of things. So, this is for you. Thank you for all the work that you do around here, the history you've got around here. You and Miss Cooksey are about the only two that have been around here longer than me. So y'all been around here a long time.
Long time. Miss Cooksey was here when I came.
Yeah. Give Alice a hand of applause. All right. Even though I would like to have more people here, I like this small setting in a way, because I love to teach as much as I love to preach. And I think they go hand in hand. But when you got a smaller crowd, you can do that a little better than if you've got a big crowd. But anyway, we're going to finish up the last chapter in the Gospel of John. And look what I titled it. Go ahead, Larry. Peter needs to learn how to mind his own business. Anybody here have that trouble?
Yes.
Right. Now, is this just a woman thing or is this a man thing as well?
It's both.
It's both. It is. It's both. All right. Are you sure about that, Rose?
Well, I'm sure.
You're very sure. Okay. All right. Peter needs to learn how to mind his own business. Now, before we really get to this part of it, we're going to take a little journey. Again, the last chapter, John writes this. It's very personal as we see now Jesus is in his spiritual body. And we'll see how this all takes place. All right, here we go, Acts. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, and he manifested himself on the waters. Here's what King James' way of saying was this: manifest means he showed up. You don't have to walk. You don't have to run. You don't have to ride a camel. All he does is show up. You get that? He just shows up. Now, when it says he manifested on the wise, it's early morning. And there together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called the twin, and Nathanael, the Canaan of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Group of them. All right, Larry. And Simon Peter says unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also come with thee. And they went forth and entered into a boat, and that night they took nothing. Now, basically, they decided to go fishing. Now, these guys made a living at this. Now, they're going to go at night. And it says they took nothing, which means they took nothing for nourishment. Nothing to eat. I come into play here in a little bit. So they enter into the boat, they go out, it's dark, they're going to fish. Now, they didn't have the big fancy fishing poles and rods that we have today. You'll see how they fish here in a second. All right, here we go, Larry. Oh, did I miss one? Oh, well, go back. Thank you, Miss Monica. Don't take Monica's side. But when day was now breaking, morning, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, that's a very important part. Now remember, he's in the spiritual body. They're looking, but they don't quite recognize. They could be a couple hundred yards offshore fishing. So Jesus is there. All right. Jesus therefore saith unto them, children, hey, have you caught anything? You got anything to eat? And they answered, what? No. Hey, you caught anything? Got anything to eat out there? No. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find it. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now these people do this for a living. They've been fishing one side of the boat, then the other, and they take nets, and they don't do it by fishing poles. See, these are for professional people doing it for a living. So they got nets, and they pull these nets in. They hadn't caught a thing all night. Jesus said, well, why don't you try the right side? Now, they're probably a 15, 16-foot boat, maybe 6, 7-foot wide. What difference does it make? Except Jesus said, try the right side. So what did they do? They tried the right side. Huh? You see that? We can go right past that and not pay attention to that. They did what Jesus told them to do. Now look what happens. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find fish. And they cast therefore, and now they were not even able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Probably hundreds, hundreds of fish. These guys are strong men. They do this for a living. They could not even pull the net in, for there were so many fish. You get that? Say amen. All right, here we go. Okay, okay. That disciples, therefore, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now they're sort of putting two and two together. He said, put it on the right side. Jesus is speaking. They say, that disciple therefore whom Jesus loved, which is who? John. John writes this. This is where you'll see it in the Bible. That's how we know about it. Saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girded his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. Who in the world fishes naked? Any of you ever tried that? Don't raise your hand, I don't know. Now, naked here means he had a cloth on, but that was it. Jewish people, if you don't have something to cover your top half, they can see your neck. Now, here's what you got to love about Peter, all right? Peter, as we all know, had several conversations with Jesus. When it came to go seeing at the tomb, he outran John to get there. And prior to that, he walked on the water. Now, he's swimming. This is a character, isn't it? He'll do anything to get to Jesus. That make sense? He would do anything to get to his Lord. Run, walk on water, swim. He cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples, they've got no sense. Thank God we got some people in church who have some sense. But the other disciple came in the little boat. For they were not that far from land, but about 200 cubits, about 200 yards, dragging the net full of fishes. Peter dives in, swims, leaves the boat, leaves his partners, leaves the fish, leaves the nets, leaves it all out there so he can swim to Jesus. Now, somebody has to do the work. Okay? So now they come in with all these fish. Alright, here we go. Here. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, the fish laid thereupon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish that you have now taken. Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And all there were so many, and yet the net was not rent, torn. Jesus starts a fire. They come in with the fish. Peter goes to help them. 153, maybe more, but 153. So many that the net didn't tear. Now, why is that important? Jesus told them to throw the net on the right-hand side. He knew good and well there would be enough to fill the net, but he made sure the net didn't tear. Okay? And I'll get back to this in a second. It didn't tear. All right, here we go. Jesus saith unto them, come and break your fast. And none of the disciples thus inquired him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. And now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. Just say this is the third time he's appeared to them. He said, come on in, guys. I'm going to fix your breakfast. We're going to cook up some fish. Where'd bread come from? Don't matter, does it? It's there, isn't it? So now we got bread. Jesus cometh, taketh the bread, and gives to them the fish likewise. He gave them the fish. Did Jesus eat? It would indicate that he didn't. Does he need food for nourishment now? Why? He's in a spiritual body. Let me tell you something. I always did live to eat. Now today, over the last several years, as I've lost all the weight, I don't live for that anymore. But I live to eat. I don't think in heaven we're going to live to eat. We're just going to live for Jesus. In a spiritual body, I'm not going to have that need to eat. Because we have to eat now to survive. We have to have water to survive. In heaven, we don't need water. We don't need food because we got Jesus. We got a new spiritual body, and he will supply every need that you will ever have for eternity. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right. So when they had broken their fast, in other words, after they had had their food to eat, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Okay. He saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, tend my sheep. A little different phrasing there at the end. All right, Larry, let's go get it. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my. This is a very unique conversation between Jesus and Peter. Now let me take an opportunity here to break this down to show you something. In the English, we only have one word for love. So love is used in all three verses. In the Greek, there are three words. Now, I'm not going to get into what the three words are. Sometimes I have trouble pronouncing them myself. One means sacrificial, supreme love. The other means the love between a husband and wife, between a parent and children, between you and your parents. And then the third is brotherly love, like Rick and I love each other. Got it? You with me so far? We only use the word love in the English. The first time Jesus said, "Do you love me supremely?" The highest level of love. And Peter came back and gave him the second level. He said, "I love you like I do my family." He said, "Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep." He asked him the second time. He said, "Simon Peter, do you love me supremely?" He said, "Jesus, you know my heart. I love you on the second level, just like I would my family." He didn't answer Jesus right. So you get what I'm saying here? Jesus is asking for the supreme level of love, and he couldn't give it. Third time, Jesus came down to his level, and he said, "Will you love me like your family?" Now the third time, Peter maybe went back a little bit in memory. You remember there's another time he did something three times. He denied his Lord Jesus Christ three times. Now maybe Peter's thinking about this. Maybe he's thinking to the fact that Jesus is asking him for something and he can't give it. But Jesus met him where he was at. This is very important. Listen to me closely. He sometimes has to meet us where we are at. Okay? He got to Peter and he said, "Will you love me like you do your family?" He said, "Yes, I will." He never changed his order. He just said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus had to come down to Peter's level to understand, because Peter could not reach as high as Jesus. Now, let me say this to you. Why did Jesus do that? It's because everything Jesus does, he has a reason for it. Never forget that. He has a reason for everything he does. He wanted Peter to know that the love that Jesus had for him was the highest that he could get. You with me? The highest level of love that Peter ever received in his life was from his Lord Jesus Christ. Peter could not give that back at this level. Now he's in heaven, now he can. But at that point, he couldn't. Jesus is in the spiritual, Peter's in the physical. There's a conversation between Jesus in the spiritual, Peter in the physical. And yet, Jesus came down to where he was at. And still used Peter and made him one of the greatest preachers in the book of Acts, next to Paul. Give the Lord a hand. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young," Jesus is talking, "thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." He basically told Peter how he would die. That's exactly. Stretch forth the hands. We all remember how Peter, but he wouldn't die like Jesus. How did he die? Upside down. Now, here's where I get the title. Peter needs to learn to mind his own business. Alright, here we go. "Now this he spoke, signifying what manner of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved," which is who?
John.
Who wrote the gospel? John. Alright? "Seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned back on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Alright, Larry. Peter therefore seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, quote unquote, if it will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, let me try to put it in everyday language. Peter turns around and says, you know, Lord, you tell me how I'm going to die. What about my boy here, John? How's he going to die? Jesus said, number one, that's none of your business. He said, I may leave John alive for a long time. He may never die. But whatever it is, it's none of your business. You follow me. Sometimes we like to get in other people's business, don't we? We look around. Hey, everything I touch falls apart. Everything someone else touches turns to gold. You ever get to feeling sorry for yourself sometime? You always looking around, comparing yourself to other people? Here, I'm a Christian. You think I'd have everything under the sun. Here's a person over here that cusses every other breath, takes God's name in vain, and's got everything that the world can offer him. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. People get that attitude. Jesus is like, I don't care what he drives, where he lives, what he does, what's in his checking account, because that's none of your business. Don't you worry about that. You got enough to worry about Roger. You take care of Roger. And whatever happens, I'll take care of the rest. Follow thou me. What do you think? I think it's pretty good advice. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of churches around this land that could use that advice. There really is. Because we like to get into each other's business a whole lot. And we like getting family business and this kind of business and that kind of business. And we get into it and we complain and we holler and we scream and we do whatever. But Jesus is simply saying, hey, when it all comes down to the end, I will be the final judge. And he reminds me a whole lot that I got enough to answer for me. I don't need to worry about anybody else's backyard because mine is full. What do you think? Is that true for everybody? Some great advice here. Peter took it. And again, like I said, became one of the greatest preachers. Became basically the leader of the church in the book of Acts. Simply because he finally listened to Jesus. Yeah, it took him a while because he was pretty hard-headed. But when he finally got things right between him and Jesus, Jesus made him a name that nobody on this planet would ever forget. Paul, Peter, Noah, Moses, Joseph, you know, you can just name them. But Peter would be among the top of the list of people who's recognized in God's Word. And yet, he was about as dumb as a brick, had a big mouth, got in trouble more than any other man. But at the end of it, Jesus made him a man of God. Now that gives me some hope. Huh? Gives you some hope, don't it? Because we do some dumb things. We do some stupid things. We say some stupid things. And yet, he looks beyond our fault and sees our potential. That's Jesus. Give him a round of applause. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, what a privilege to be in God's house among God's good people. Father, we are so inclined to thank you, Lord, for the great advice you give us in your word. Father continue to watch over the life of our church and our people. To those who are sick, we remember Miss Ballard in a special way tonight as well. But Father, we're so thankful for those who are here. Miss those who are not. But Father, your word is going to go forth. Your spirit is here. And we love you for it. Father, bless this invitation. If there be one here today that's lost, may this be the day of salvation. If someone needs a prayer, may they come and let me pray with them. You need a quiet time at this altar, we invite you to come. But remember, Jesus loves you. In that precious and holy name we pray. Is there